So I got a call this morning saying that Don was sick. He was supposed to have the lesson this morning. And that Sue also is very sick. And so Steve needed to stay home with her. And so I wanted to know if I could do a lesson. I thought so too. So anyway, obviously I didn't have time to run to the store and get some victuals and bring them home and cook them up and make a meal. So I got to looking in the cupboards and opened the fridge and see what kind of leftovers I had. And so that's what you're getting today, some leftovers. But hopefully it'll be tasty anyway. You really can't go wrong teaching God's Word. So this is proof the Bible we have is the Word of God. The Old Testament is the New Testament concealed. Or in other words, the New Testament is concealed in the Old. So I wonder how many people realize that. I know this learned body does. But I wonder how many other people, as they're flipping through reading their Bibles, have really come to understand how the Old and the New Testament work together. And how that the new is concealed actually in the old. When you're reading the Old Testament, and you become familiar with the New Testament, you'll soon realize, well, I was reading about that the whole time back there. The New Testament is the Old Testament revealed. Or in other words, the Old Testament is revealed in the new. So, as we start reading our New Testament and understanding it, then we realize that it's showing us what the Old Testament was talking about. So, the Old Testament is the physical blueprint of the spiritual kingdom of the New Testament. So, we say it's the physical blueprint because we can actually open it and handle it and touch it and look at it and read it. So, it's physical. It's the physical blueprint. And somebody's going to build a building. They get a blueprint out, a physical blueprint, and they look at it to understand what's got to be done to build this structure. And so what's interesting, it's a physical blueprint in the Old Testament, but it's showing us how to build a spiritual kingdom. Who could do that except for an all-knowing God? The New Testament is the building of the spiritual kingdom according to the physical blueprint of the Old Testament. That's why it's so important that everything be done according to what God said exactly. That the pattern had to be exact. Because it was a shadow of the spiritual kingdom. So everything had to be exact according to the pattern because of what it represented as a blueprint for the spiritual kingdom. The blueprint in the Old Testament is physical, so we can see it in shadows and types and figures. It's like drawing cartoons or something. You know, God says, let me explain this to you, and let me give you some drawings. You understand drawings? Oh, now you can see what I'm illustrating, what I'm talking about. So God illustrates to us in physical shadows, types, and figures, so that when we come to the New Testament, we can see, oh, this was the spiritual kingdom I'm reading about now the whole time. Wow. I wonder how many people realize that. The substance of the blueprint is found in the New Testament. It is spiritual and is seen through the shadows, types, and figures of the Old Testament. So the substance, in order to write the blueprint, which was written first, in order for the blueprint to be written, somebody had to have the substance of that spiritual kingdom that it was going to represent. Well, how could a man do that? How could a man be writing a physical blueprint of a spiritual kingdom? Because he wouldn't have the substance that made it up to give us the appropriate drawings. Only an all-knowing mind that put it all together could do this and give us the end of something from the beginning. So all of this, of course, then, is evidence of the inspiration of the Scriptures. That it cannot, once you realize how the Old Testament blueprint and the spiritual kingdom of the New Testament, how they fit perfectly together, one complements the other, improves the other, then that, my friends, is evidence of inspiration of the Scriptures. Atheists and such do not know what to do with such a thing as this. Old Testament prophecies are proof that the New Testament is the Word of God. Because once again, the prophecies, which means prophesying something to come, spoke about what we find in the New Testament before it ever happened. The prophecies gave it to us, and then it came to pass. These people that gave us these prophecies did not live in the same time, the same age as the people that wrote the New Testament. It's not like they got together and figured a plan out. No, they told them what it would be before it happened. Many years before it happened. The Old Testament prophecies of Jesus, when we read about Jesus in the Old Testament prophecies prove that Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is the Word of God. Because Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John show us the reality of the prophecies that were prophesied about Jesus. The Old Testament prophecies of the church are proof that the book of Acts through Revelations is the Word of God. Because they harmonize. The Old Testament prophecies of the church we find come to pass in the book of Acts through Revelations. All of these prophecies of the Old Testament fulfilled in the New Testament are internal, meaning they're in here, internal evidences of the inspiration of the Scriptures. Man will be without excuse. Those who seek God's face will be looking in here to find Him. And He says, if you are seeking My face, you will find Me. Thus, we prove the Holy Bible is not distorted and in need of another testament, but rather, as it warns us, we are not to add to or take away from it. So someone comes along, like the Mormons, and say that they have a latter-day revelation or a latter-day testament, then it's proven to be nonsense. Not only does it contradict everything in here, not only does it not make any sense to everything in here, but it has nothing to add. Everything is here. The Old Testament and New, together, show the inspiration of God. What new thing can another testament proclaimed add to it? Nothing. It's complete. It's finished. And the only thing another testament provides is confusion. I don't know if you've ever tried to read the Book of Mormon, but you will be confused real quick because it makes no sense. Archaeologists have many proofs of the Bible facts confirmed through archaeology. Many facts, geography, places, things that the Old Testament talks about, we can now confirm through archaeological studies. There are not any backing up the claims of the Book of Mormon, for example. That's interesting. Let's look at Isaiah chapter 41. And we'll start in verse 20. Isaiah 41:20. He says here that that they may see and recognize and consider and gain insight as well, that the hand of the Lord has done this, and the Holy One of Israel has created it. Present your case, the Lord says. Bring forward your strong arguments, the King of Jacob says. Let them bring forth and declare to us what is going to take place. As for the former events, declare what they were, that we may consider them and know their outcome. Or announce to us what is coming. Declare the things that we are going to, that are going to come afterwards, that we may know that you are gods. So here, God is putting a challenge out to these false teachers, to these gods, etc., that he's saying, do what I've done. Declare something before it happens, that we may consider, that we all know the outcome before it takes place, as I've done for you. Declare the things that are going to come afterwards. So God is saying that, listen, I've given you evidence of myself in my word. Can you do that? Well, the answer is obviously no. If you look in Isaiah 43, let's pick up in verse 8. He says, bring out the people who are blind, even though they have eyes, and the deaf, even though they have ears. All the nations have gathered together so that the peoples may be assembled. Who among them can declare this and proclaim to us the former things? Let them present their witness that they may be justified. Or let them hear and say, it is true. You are my witnesses, declares the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, so that you may know and believe. So once again, God is bearing witness of himself, evidence of his word, that no one else could do such a thing. Chapter 44 of Isaiah, starting in verse 6. Thus says the Lord, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts. I am the first and I am the last, and there is no God besides me. Who is like me? Let him proclaim and declare it. Yes, let him recount it to me in order. From the time that I established the ancient nation, and let them declare to them the things that are coming and the events that are going to take place. Do not tremble and do not be afraid. Have I not long since announced it to you and declared it? And you are my witnesses. Is there any God besides me? Or is there any other rock? I know of none. So, God then again is challenging any who would say that they are God. He's challenging them, show me the proof. Just as I have shown you the proof that I am who I say I am. The Word of God, this is the treasure of God, His Word. And I want to just share a few jewels out of God's treasure chest. And we can look at these and hold them up in the light and watch them sparkle and shine and see their great value and know how precious they are indeed. Just a few examples of the jewels that are in the chest of God's treasury. Proverbs 14:12. There is a way which seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. Look at that in the light and examine it. Think about what it's saying. Seems right, but it's the way of death. Chapter 3 of Proverbs, verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your paths straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. God is saying, listen, I have given you all you need to understand and to know me and to know what it is that I require of you. So don't lean on your own understanding outside of my word, but in all your ways and everything that you set your hand to, acknowledge me, God is saying. Acknowledge what I have told you. Acknowledge the instruction I have given you. Don't be wise in your own eyes. Don't think you know better than me, says God, because you don't. Psalms 119:105 says, thy word is a lamp to my feet, and it's a light to my path. You know, we used to go out when I was a younger guy down in Tennessee, and we'd go down and stay in the summertime with our friends that owned a big dairy farm and help work there. We'd get up at 4 in the morning and go out and go call them cows in. And here they'd come. It was still dark early sometimes in that time of the year. It'd be dark at 4 in the morning. So we'd take a lamp or a light, and that's would be the light or the lamp to our feet so we could see the path that them cows would come following us, calling them in to get milked. So the Word of God is a lamp to our feet. It's a light to our path. It will show us the way we should go. I love the first Psalms. If you turn to Psalms 1, how blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scoffers. The wicked, the sinners, the scoffers, who scoff at God's word. Do not stand with them. Do not walk with them. Do not sit with them. Because God's delight is in the law of the Lord. And the man that loves the Lord loves his law, loves his word. And his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law, or his word, he meditates day and night. The man who loves the Lord will be found in the word of God, studying, meditating, chewing on what these things are saying. Not only to bring you to eternal life, but to make you wise in this world. He, the person that does that, will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. And whatsoever he does, he prospers. Because the tree is planted by the source of life, the water. Jesus speaks of himself as being the water that we need unto eternal life. The wicked, though, are not so. You will not find them in the Word of God day and night, meditating upon it. But they are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. What a jewel the first psalm is. Let's go to Isaiah 55. And we'll look at the first three verses. Isaiah 55. Oh, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. You who have no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why do you spend money for what is not bread, and your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good, and delight yourself in abundance. Incline your ear and come to me. Listen that you may live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you according to the faithful mercies shown to David. David needed mercies, as we all know his story. And God is saying, if you will delight yourself in me, in my word, as David did, he was a man after God's own heart. Yes, he messed up some, but he was a man after God's own heart, and God showed him mercy. If we incline our ear to listen and to hear, don't spend your time, your money, your means, everything about things of this life which are soon to pass away. As the preacher said in Ecclesiastes, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. Don't spend your time so caught up in these things that you dwell on them constantly, and you find yourself empty inside. But come to the word of the Lord and be filled. And fill yourself with peace and joy. Let's look at Joshua 1:8. Joshua says, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you will meditate upon it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written therein. Then you will have good success. This word of the law, God's book, meditate upon it day and night. and you will prosper. You will have good success. Let's look at Jeremiah 15:16. These are all jewels. These are all treasures. Each one in and of themselves are full of wisdom and knowledge and are so valuable to us. We just need to pick them up and look at them. Think about what they're telling us. Jeremiah says, "Your words were found, and I ate them. And your words became for me a joy and the delight of my heart, for I have been called by your name, O Lord God of hosts." I found your word. Well, first thing I got to do is open the book. And I found your word. And then I meditate upon it day and night. I eat it. I take it in. And it becomes a joy and delight in my heart. Because I follow it. And now I'm called by his name. I'm part of the royal family. I could go on and on. So many jewels in the Word of God that you just need to take them, examine them, look at them, think about them, their beauty, and realize that God is sharing these jewels with us that we can prosper by them. Anyway, think about these things. Just a few things I pulled out of the cupboard in the refrigerator for you. Hope it was tasty. Okay, let's stand and be dismissed.